talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, Jared was long-winded with his news today. He's eating up some of my quality talking to my buddies out there time. Well, anyway, we got a guest in the studio, Jesse Harrell, and we are going to be talking about some horses coming up here a little bit and maybe even some Brahmas. And so anyway, I want to do our grain report since I didn't do it yesterday. Everybody was kind of antsy because I didn't do it. But, man, I don't get Officer Paul Cornett in here every day, so you guys just got to learn to deal with me. But first things first, before I get to the grain reports, if you picked up your penny news and you've turned to the Today in Ag section, there's the Jimmy tip of the week. And I get numerous texts in here on the show asking me to remind you guys, but my tip of the week is make sure you throw your hay wrap away in the dumpster and not in the bar ditch. And farmers and ranchers, we are great stewards of the land, so let's make sure we button our wrap down before we throw it away instead of leaving it in the bar ditches, because it's hard on mowers, shredders, it's hard on axles, it's hard on everything. So if you would, be so kind and disposing of your hay wrap properly. Well, let's go to the markets. Let's go to the live markets first. And let me hit the recirc and make sure it's up to date. Yep. Well, oil's going back up again today, so that's not such good news. I mean, oil, we want good oil prices, so our oil field buddies around here are making a good living and all that good stuff. But $113 a barrel for West Texas oil is high enough. Anyway, live cattle are up today, or since this morning. April is 140.45. June is 137.37. August is 137.85. And October is 144.12, and it's down 0.7. Feeder cattle are down. March, 156.45. April, 161.72. Lean hogs, they are at, April is 106. They're up a little bit today, over 3. And lean hogs for May, 118.15. And June is 126.07. And, I mean, cotton is just a fraction away from being $1.31. So, there's that on that. And let me get the live cash grain prices in Oklahoma at some of our local cooperatives. Hard red winter wheat is up 18 at 1038. Corn is up 5 at 754. And Milo's up 5 at 722. And soybeans is up 6.4 to $16.19 a bushel. There you got it going on. Well, soybean and grain futures were lower overnight on some favorable weather in parts of South America and slack demands for U.S. supplies. In Brazil, the world's largest exporter of soybeans, rains this week favored parts of different states down in there, the Rio Grande and the Parana. Rains are expected to favor several growing states throughout all of Brazil, they said, coming up. And dryness is stressing safari corn in east central areas, but improvements are expected there by next week. In Argentina, precipitation favored Santa Fe, South Entre Rios, and a couple others I can't even pronounce. The forecaster said then it is expected to dry through the weekend. On the demand front, sales of corn, soybeans fell sharply week to week, according to the USDA. Prices, however, have been underpinned by, guess what? Russia's continued attacks on the Ukraine. The war in Ukraine has been going on for a month now with no end in sight. The country swapped prisoners for the first time. Also, I seen on social media that one of those prisoners that they got. It was that old boy that everybody heard on social media telling that Russian ship to go blank blank. So anyway, they got him back, put him back on the front. But anyway, Russia first attacked Ukraine, with the sides engaging 10 prisoners each, Ukraine deputy prime minister said in a Facebook post. In a separate exchange, almost a dozen Russian civilian seamen were exchanged for 19 Ukrainian civilian soldiers, according to media reports. Soybean futures for delivery fell 8 cents to $16.92¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $1 to $4.86.90 a short ton, and soybean oil futures lost 0.38 cents to $0.7391 a pound. Wheat for May delivery dropped 7 cents to $10.78.5 a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell 6.5 cents to $10.88.5 a bushel. Corn futures for May delivery were down 1¾ cents to $7.46.5 a bushel. Sales of corns and beans to overseas buyers plunged in the 7 days that ended on March 17, while wheat sales were modestly higher week to week, according to the USDA. Corn sales last week totaled 979,000 metric tons, and that's down 47% from the previous week and 29% from the prior five-week average. Mexico was the big buyer at 265,300 metric tons, followed by Colombia at 153,900 tons, and South Korea bought 127,200 tons. A unnamed country, my favorite word in this report, unnamed country, bought 92,600 metric tons. So I figured out why they come up with these unnamed countries in this report that I get off Successful Farmer. Is because the country doesn't want their people to know they're bringing corn in. And so they don't want any stampedes or riots and stuff. That's all, I mean, why else? But anyway, Israel came in there at the end at 69,700 tons. Exports for the week totaled 1.49 million metric tons. Soybean sales came in at 412,200 metric tons, but that's down 67% from the previous week and 70% from the average. Egypt took 76,500 tons. Mexico was in there for 75,100 tons, and Indonesia bought 66,200 tons, and China bought only 32,500 tons. Here we go again. The total would have been higher, but unknown destination nixed shipments of 57,700 tons. Exports last week was 549,200 metric tons, and that's down 23% week to week. Here we go. Wheat sales last week was reported at 155,700 metric tons. The USDA said that's up 7% from the week before, but down 51% from average. Japan took 109,000 metric tons, Taiwan 50,000 tons, Venezuela 31,000 tons, and Mexico 29,900 tons, and Chile coming there in last place at 12,000 tons. Nigerian canceled cargoes of 35,700 metric tons, and an unnamed country nixed shipments of 31,400 tons. Sales for delivery in the 22-23 marketing year that starts on June 1st have already totaled 367,300 tons. Wheat exports for the week were reported at 366,100 metric tons, and that's up 47% from the week prior to that. Well, I got a few results that I need to share with you on some cattle we got going on. Woodward had their weekly calf sale yesterday. It looks like, yeah, the heavier weight calves are down slightly, but I think it's still holding in there pretty solid. 437-pound average weight calves were bringing up to 227 bucks per hundred weight. 518, 221 bucks per hundred weight. 620 were bringing up to 196.75. 700 weights were bringing up to 169.50, and 800 weights were bringing up to 155.50. And now all those prices were on steers. On the heifer side, we got 321-pound heifers were bringing up to 201. 366 heifers bringing up to $1.92. 412 up to $1.99. 520-pound heifers are bringing up to $153, and 735-pound heifers up to $1.57 a pound. At Hobart, Wednesday, they're looking pretty good. Steers that was weighing 3 to 4 up to 217, 4 to 5 weights up to 210, 5 to 6 weights, 167, 6 to 7 weights, $1.54. On the heifer side, 4 to 500 pound heifers, $1.64, 7 to 800 pound heifers, $1.35. Butcher cows and butcher bulls are really strong. You got a bull you need to call right now and have money to go buy another, and right now is time to do it. Butcher cows were bringing up to $1.08. Bulls were bringing up to $1.23. Pairs are up slightly. It has been creeping up the last month. We're bringing $15.25. And how about this? Bred cows, he must have had a really good set of bred cows in there, were bringing up to $18.50. per head. So there's just some results from Hobart Stockyards and from Woodward. Elk City is happening right now. I called two people before the show, and all I could hear was auctioneer and cows moving. So I know where they're at. You don't even have to guess where they're at. So Brandon must have been giving out free Dr. Pepper today out there, because those guys usually are at the sale barn. But anyway, the sale's going on at Elk City tomorrow, Hollis, Oklahoma, down in Harmon County. They'll be having their sale down there. And come Monday, as every Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having their sale. So you got any cattle you need to take over there to Western Oklahoma, I'm sure if you call Brandon, he'll help you get them in there. So well, when I get back, I'll be talking with Jesse, and we'll be talking horses. And I know you already messed up. You told me about your daughter showing her Brahmas. So we're going to get into that, because I want to hear if it's as easy to do with them as it is the regular show steer. So we'll touch on that when I get back. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, March 18th. 1,025 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 351 brought 216. 12 at 500 brought 197. 5 at 534 brought 158. 10 at 738 brought 158. 8 at 785 brought 149. 7 head of heifers at 366 brought 199. 4 at 455 brought 179. 8 at 554 brought 158.50. 11 at 700 brought 143. 3 at 1092 brought 110. Butcher cows were 35 to 106. Butcher bulls 90 to 128. Bred cows were 750 to 1135. Pairs brought 1100 to 1485. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I'm back. Anyway, I was trying to get this thing to update. There it goes. Anyway, 71 degrees. The winds are out of the east northeast at 15, gusting up to 20. Humidity is 20%. And again, I give you guys a fair warning. Be careful out there today with low humidity and 15, 20 mile an hour winds. Pretty good. And it is wildfire for grass season. It's just wildfire season. But anyway, I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger coming up later in the show. We have rain in our forecast. And I want to tell you, I got the drought monitor map up that I want to talk about in the last segment. But I was checking out the long ranger, and looks like we got in the next 2 weeks 3 chances of rain. What do you think about that, Jesse?
I'll take it.
Oh, man.
Every little drop. Well, I'll take it.
Yeah, because I got an issue with the U.S. drought monitor map. Parts of our listening area, we all got rain here a while back, some a tenth, some a half inch, most of us half inch, and the drought manager, some of the, like Roger Mills County, they've been drier than anybody almost this whole time, and now they took them out of the D4 because they got a shower. It can't change that much that quick. So anyway, well, welcome to the show. Your first time on here with me. You just telling me you was on the oil and gas show like 20 years ago.
I've known Butch and Sean for a long time.
Again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And tell everybody a little bit about you.
I was born and raised right here in western Oklahoma. My great-grandparents are the ones that got me into horses at a young age, and something that I've always enjoyed being around. One of those lifelong lessons is one day I was on a little Shetland pony, and my granddad was standing behind us watching us take off. That Shetland reared up. I come off the back end of that Shetland, and I went to grab him and take him back into the corrals, and my granddad come up. He grabbed me by the arm. He said, "Son, we don't ever give up on a horse like that." And that's kind of one thing that's just kind of instilled in my horse operation. And there's times I think my daughter was a natural-born horseman.
Right.
She goes out there and...
What's your daughter's name?
Madison. Yeah, she's 13, and... She got an attitude of I don't even know what to tell you, but sometimes
better be careful if she's listening.
Well, she wanted to skip school today to come on the show with me.
Oh, bummer.
But yeah, she.
I would have wrote her a note. Where did she go to school at?
Sweetwater. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Casey would have let us, but you know, I don't know. I think school's more important.
Probably so, yeah.
But she also, she does show Brahmins. She's a part of the Morris Black Gold Brahmin show team.
Right.
And we show our own cattle also.
Right.
I think Brahmins are so much easier. You don't have to sit there and worry about hair.
I actually, now that you say that, I remember seeing her name on that list that I got from Cheyenne. From mm-hmm. the county show.
Yes, sir.
Oh, small world. I didn't now 2 + 2 = 4. Right?
Yeah.
There we go.
Unless you're doing core math.
Yeah, unless you're doing core math, it equals 2.
but I, watching all three of these kids that are part of that show team, take these big old baby Brahmins. I mean, what they do with their Brahmins. In the show ring, most people are like, "Oh my God, it's a crazy Brahma! Get out of the way!"
That's what I think.
But these are so gentle. My daughter's actually in the process of wanting to. Well, actually, she is starting her own Brahma herd, And she loves Brahmas to death. I do too. They're like big old puppy dogs.
They're beautiful animals.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're just beautiful animals. Because when I was working, you know, we were talking oil field. When I was working down for SM Energy on the Briscoe Ranch,
yeah,
right along the border, I mean, right on the border, that's all they got. And they got their colors mixed up a little bit, but I don't think those are show ones. You're not going to break halter break those pretty quick because they round them up with a helicopter.
Yeah, I have seen them do that down there. I especially down around Aspen, Texas.
Right.
I've seen them do that day in, day out. And then me and my dad used to go down there and haul them wherever they wanted them.
Right.
But the way Brahmas do their color judging on if they're gray or red or... It's actually kind of weird. You can have a gray Brahma with red on it, and then, you know, vice versa. You can have a red one with a little bit of gray or a little bit of black. It just all depends on what their most dominant color is. And if I'm saying that wrong, I'm pretty sure I'm fixing to hear about it because...
So the text line is open, 580-225-9697. Do not text him directly. I want to get it on the screen here.
But now that being a part of the Morris Brahman show team, it's a family atmosphere.
Right.
I love it. I really enjoy going to the Brahman Association shows more than I do any other show.
Okay.
They're just so much relaxed. All the kids have to do really is pretty well clean up their little butts and...
Right.
Powder them a little bit and then put them in a ring.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of shearing on a Brahma.
No. Now, during the winter, they do get a little bit more hair.
Right. But so do you.
Oh, yeah.
Haven't got your winter hair off yet.
No.
Hey, we are live on Facebook and on our website, KCOFM.com. So if you want to see why I just made that remark, his goatee's way bigger than mine.
Well, and it's I don't know if it's the lack of humidity or what, but it's doing something weird today.
No, it's his studio. I do it too because my wife says, quit itching your face.
My wife's always telling me, leave it alone.
Tell her you're shaping it.
Oh. But. I was kind of telling you about the National Meat Judge deal. So we went, I think it was in November last year.
Okay.
We went down to Rosenberg, Texas for a National Brahma show. And they were needing meat judges for a barbecue contest. And it just so happens that myself...
And this was Brahma meat?
Yeah, they did. They cooked the Brahma hump. Now, the ribs and the brisket might have been regular beef.
Okay.
But the Brahman hump was for sure there. And I've never ate a Brahman hump a day in my life, but...
I bet if I could get some... anybody out there ever... Ate a Brahma hump, text in 580-225-9697 because I'm curious.
It looks nasty when it's raw. Now, I mean, honestly, it looks like a set of brains in this package. But if it's cooked, the winner of that competition, their hump was spot on. I mean, it almost tasted like in between a roast, maybe a brisket type taste. It just all There's so much
potato and carrots come with it.
No, not in judging. You get a bottle of water and some crackers, and you're not allowed to spit the food out. You have to swallow.
Oh,
but as we were down there, three of us that are on the show team, we all got picked to be a judge of that, and that's one of the jokes in between us right now is we'll be in a conversation and somebody will say something. Well. That ain't no way to treat a national meat judge. And I'm pretty sure our old ladies are tired of hearing it by now, but you know, it's just good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Well, that's interesting. Well, let's take a break, Jesse, and then we'll come back. We'll start talking about some horses. How's that?
That'll work.
Yeah, because we probably wore out our welcome on the Brahmas so far. Anyway, I got Jesse Harrell in here from Sweetwater, and we're going to talk some horses right after this. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Let's get to the weather real quick. 72 degrees. I think we're going to beat our 74 projected high today because it's just right after noon and we got a lot of sunlight left. 14 mile an hour east-northeast winds, 17 mile an hour gust, and humidity is down to 18%. Coming up after our next commercial break, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I can't believe nobody's going to reply to this Brahma hump meat. What do you got to reply on this? But anyway, I've had some replies, but not good ones. I'm not repeating on the air. Before Jesse and I continue our conversation, I need to remind everybody, I'm going to remind you about twice a week on this deal here, and this was given to me from Greg Hartman, OSU Extension, Maine guru from over here, Beckham County, Custer County, and Ouachita County. Once, friendly reminder, the ODAFF has set the dates for the next two unwanted pesticide disposal collections. They will be April 26th in Ada and April 28th in Hobart. Information sheets, transportation tips, and maps can be found at the website. And that website is Unwanted Pesticide Disposal Program at Oklahoma State University, EDU, at OSU. OKstate.edu. April 28th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., I believe, is Kiowa County at Hobart at the fairgrounds there. There's no fee for the first 2,000 pounds of pesticides brought to the collections. Please contact Charles Looper if you have any questions at all. And he's at OSU at Stillwater at the Noble Research Center. 405-744-5808. 405-744-5808. And they appreciate it. So anyway, if you got some stuff out there you need to dispose of, free of charge, 2,000 pounds or less, now it's time to be doing it. I got a couple of jugs that I was looking yesterday. I got some Dacumba. and some paraquat, and I thought, what am I doing with this in my shop? So anyway, I don't use that stuff. So anyway, somebody probably gave it to me, but anyway, I'll get rid of it. What besides Brahmas, I'm sure you do some horses.
Oh yes.
Okay, so that's what you're. But you was talking about. What was you talking about on the Brahmas? Somebody's replying to you, ain't they?
No. That's Live 360.
At OYE, you guys showed it. OYE, she came in fifth. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, anybody in places at OYE did good. I mean, it's just a good atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. And you know, for OYE to be the world's largest junior show, is an accomplishment in itself.
Right.
The Brahma classes are kind of smaller than your normal Angus or whatever. But
everybody's scared of them, probably.
They're just big old puppy dogs.
Yeah.
But I have seen more kids fight with Charolais, Angus, Simmentals than I know there's Brahmins out there that throw a fit from time to time, and especially when you have one in the ring that she's coming into season the first time.
Right.
You know, she might throw a little fit. But as far as, I don't know.
She's looking for a boyfriend.
I don't know how my daughter does it, but she works with these animals day in, day out, and they're just like big puppy dogs.
Well, this summer, when Madison's out of school, you have to bring her in.
Oh, yes, sir, definitely.
Yeah, and maybe she's got a baby calf. It's Halterbrock. Bring it in here with us. Because I've already brought a calf in here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I took it to Brahms, and then I brought it in here.
Well, we have a shorthorn that she should be dropping, I think, in June, July, somewhere.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't.
Yeah.
I'd have to look back. My wife takes care of all the days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's why I have a book, and you know those little tally books we carry for years?
Yeah.
It's my Bible. So anyway, I know what's going on. Well, let's get to horses.
All right.
So we heard how you started on a Shetland pony. Was this at a carnival or is this at the house?
No, this was at my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
I used to, we'd come out of the barn and go around it, and it's nothing but sand right there on top of that hill. But those Shetlands, I mean, they would rear up from time to time, and hey, I was 6-7 years old. I didn't really
first
know.
Time on a rear up.
First time on a rear up, it did kind of scare me then. But once my granddad said that to me about, yeah, you don't give up on a horse like that. I got back on. We were fine. We rode for the next 240 acres. But
and that pony knew what your name was, didn't it?
Yeah.
And so, what do you guys have for horses right now? What do you do with your horse? Are you barrel racing? Are you roping? What are you doing?
Well, we do. My daughter's wanting to get into barrel racing, so I'm slowly. My cousin and I are slowly getting her into that, but we do a lot of day working. We work down here at the sale barn off and on. Doing pin back.
Did you come from the sale barn?
No. I didn't come from the sale barn. I actually haven't rode up there in quite a while. But,
I got you.
Back when I was on my mayor, she's a registered quarter horse. I bought her out of a kill pen.
Okay.
She was ornery when I first got her. And there were several people who were like, well, why don't you just give her up? And I was like, no, I can't do it. That goes against everything I was taught.
Right.
Well, I put in the time. My cousin, he helped me put in the time.
Whose cousin? You gonna say his name?
Cody Kilhoffer.
Okay.
We were down there, and he helped me because it'd been a while since I'd broke any horses. The last horses I broke were, I think, back in 2010. I broke a Mustang. Okay. Had her riding. Somebody come and stole her out of the yard, out of Eric when we were living in Eric. But so I just kind of, it really ticked me off. Somebody stole my horse while I was gone for a couple hours, and cops couldn't help. Nobody knew where she went. She's still gone to this day. So I hope she made somebody a heck of a horse.
Yeah.
But
man, I hate that.
Anyway, so Cody helped me refresh my memory and kind of get me back into doing good habits while training a horse. And once I got the buck out of her, Cody was like, well, let's go down, talk to Charles and Brandon, see about riding her down there, doing pin back, put some miles on her. I know a lot of these cutting horse trainers and reining horse trainers, they don't really put the miles on the horse that we do for day working horses or actual true ranch horses. They just put hours in an arena, and them horses, 9 times out of 10, very rarely see something outside of the arena. And to me, when you're training a ranch horse or a roping horse, you got to put some miles on them. My mare right now, I know for a fact I can go in the pen, saddle her up, and we can just take off. I've got her down to, you know, that first year I probably put over, I couldn't even tell you how many miles I put on her. We just saddle up and just start riding county roads. And from daylight to dark. But there's one thing that it did get me in trouble one time with her. Every trainer does it, and they don't realize it, but they teach a horse a bad habit. Well, mine, in the beginning, you get on her, she wants to start walking by herself. And not really thinking about it, once you set your butt in the saddle, you're like, okay, well, that's where we're going to go anyway. You just go ahead and let them go.
You just let them do it.
Well, in a roundabout way, I mean, that's really a bad habit to have a horse in.
Yep.
She almost took off with me when I first started getting good rides on her doing that. And then Cody and I, we sat there and came up with a plan and kind of got her out of it. I mean, it took a little bit, but we got her out of that bad habit. And, you know, we do, my daughter and I, during the weekends, if Aaron Hall for Hall & Son Services, if they call us, we'll go day work for them. We'll just about go day work for anybody.
Right.
But my horses are money makers as far as my belief and what I do, you know.
Right. Well, you got to believe in yourself and your horse if you're going to be because you're a team. It ain't you.
Yeah.
It's you and her.
Well, and one thing to think about, if you get on a horse and you're just all nervous about being on that horse,
they can feel it.
That horse can feel a fly land on their back.
Yep.
And when you're sitting in that saddle, that horse feels every emotion, every tense muscle, even through the saddle pad and the saddle.
So how does your horse react when you start yelling at your wife to close that gate when you're working cattle?
So a funny story is, we were out at Aaron's place sorting calves. Sorting mama's off calves. I hollered back at my wife, and I was like, shut that gate. My horse turned around, looked at her, and was like, just kind of gave her that look like, are you going to shut the gate?
I knew you'd help me out on that one. Well, let's take a quick break, and let's come back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden, and then we'll finish up, and then I want to touch on the drought map before the show's over. Be right back. Jesse Harrell from Sweetwater. This is Jimmy Clark on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nunn, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction, for sale last Tuesday, March the 22nd. We sold 300 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, March the 24th, we sold 2,187 kids and feeders for a total 2,487 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 88 to 94.50. Thin cows bring 76 to 90. Bulls bring in 85 to 117.50. 2 to 4 year old bred cows 1060 to 1150. 2 to 8 year old pairs 1310 to 1575. Our steer cattle, 4 to 450 steer, 224 to 227, 5 to 550, 207 to 221, 6 to 650, 177 to 196.75, 7 to 750, 156 to 169.5, 8 to 850, 148 to 155.5, 9 to 950, 144 to 146, and 42 steers weighing 1,033 bring 134. Modern heifers, 20 heifers weighing 297 bring 205, 4 to 450, 187 to 199, 5 to 550, 145 to 153, 6 to 650, 145 up to 160, 7 to 750, 141 to 157, 11 heifers weighing 844, bring 138.5, 850 to 9 weight heifers 131 to 133, 3 heifers weighing 1,050, bring 114. Thankful for the rain, prices on everything very good with old thin cows, very thin, bringing 79, better killing cows up to 94.5. Good time to call. 98 steers, one bunch, weighing 609, bring 196.75. Some 600-pound heifers topped at 160. Another set of thin black steers weighing 517, bring 221. Again, nothing better than a good rain for a drought area. Remember, we got 14 feeder buyers there every Thursday getting you top dollar for your cattle. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. The Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast was up. Now it's not. Here we go. Anyway, Jesse's looking at me. What are you doing with all those buttons over there? I've 7 months now, and I still ain't got it down good. 72 degrees, humidity's 19. East, northeast, 14 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 18. Today, 74 for a high, and I think we're going to get there. The winds are supposed to start calming down here shortly because they need to. I got 3,500 onion plants I'm getting ready to go put in the ground. So, anyway, 38 for a low tonight. Sunny and 73. 81 Sunday. Monday, 88. Summer's here. And Monday night, 64 low. I like it when the weather doesn't get any lower than 60 at night. It's good times. 20% chance of rain on Tuesday. Wednesday, 50% chance of rain. I also seen on the long Ranger. Next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we got already an 80% chance of rain, I believe, on Sunday or Monday. And then 4 or 5 days later, so I don't know how much rain we're going to get, and I hope we get a bunch because I need some ponds filled. They're dry. But with this rain coming in the forecast every 4 or 5 days, that's a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good sign. But you were talking about training your horse and stuff, and I got a quick little story for you. So when I was working for the Pitzers back in the early 80s after the first oil boom crash and the banks went kaboom and savings and loans did, was working out there, and Dub had bought a horse from my landlord that I lived on there in North Clinton Lake, and she was a beautiful specimen of a quarter horse, and she had her papers. In 1983, I think Dub paid $5,000 for her. That's a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking 1983. I mean, Walter Merritt and all those horses that was winning Ridos and all those, that's a different deal. But just to buy one off the farm for $5,000. But anyway, so Dub took her to a trainer over here at Elk City. Even if I remember their names, I wouldn't repeat it, and I don't remember their name. Had them for about 4 to 6 weeks somewhere in that time frame. Come back. We couldn't ride her. I mean, she wasn't having nothing to do with us. And tried for 2 or 3 months just to mess with her and ride her. She just wasn't having nothing of it. Well, there's an old man over in Clinton named Reese Newcomb. Yeah. And he worked over at the cell barn for Ronnie and Rex, I believe, at the Old Clinton cell barn.
Right.
And they'd come out, him and his son, Orville, they'd come out and they would come out and help us round up cattle because we had about 500 mama heads, but we also ran about 3,000 yearlings on wheat pasture during the winter for the feedlot out of Colorado. They'd come out and I guess, I don't remember if it was Dub or Keith or somebody was saying something about that deal. I'll take her. Get after it, Reese. Reese is in his 70s, okay?
Right.
All right. And he said, I'll take her. And one day, Dub said, it's me and you, Keith, go over to Sale Barn. This is like a week later. Remember, I said he's in his 70s, all right? And we went over to Sale Barn. And what are we doing? We're not selling anything. Reese wanted us to come over and show us what this mare could do. I said, it's only been a week. Reese come out of there on her. No problems. Come out of one of the lanes, out into the parking lot. He said, you boys ready for this? And he let go of those reins and got on his head, did a handstand on that saddle, and rode her.
Yeah. I've seen horses turn around in a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I've seen guys go in there and try to train a horse that has – no respect for humans, nothing.
Right, right.
And sometimes they make it worse.
Right.
By using the wrong approach or the wrong method. That mare of mine and the brood mare I have at the vet right now, that brood mare has no respect. But that's all she's been used for, I believe, as a brood mare.
Right.
I mean, she'll walk for you, but she'll dang sure turn her butt towards you. She won't kick you.
Right.
She just likes showing you her butt.
Yeah,
but that mare of mine, she had no respect for anybody when I first got her. It took me, I think Cody and I worked on her for about 2 weeks, and then once she started respecting us in the round pen, then we started doing a little bit more. Sometimes horses get that mentality. They're only going to use one side of the brain, and they have two.
Yeah.
You get them started thinking with both of them. You got them whooped.
You got the horse down at Dr. Mouse's getting the feet trimmed today? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, Dr. Mouse is going to, she's going to sedate her. She has arthritis real bad in her front. She's going to sedate her, and I'll do the trimming on her.
I got
but,
you.
But I normally try to do most of my own trimming. If I have one that I can't trim, I use the... I hate sedating a horse to trim their hooves,
yep.
But I mean, that's the last measure.
Right.
So we do what we can.
Well, it's like my wife. I got to sedate her to clip her toenails, you know. We're getting ready to get a text or a phone call. But, our horseshoers are a thing of the past. I mean, I know there's one or two around here. My wife calling your phone?
No.
No,
there's still several farriers around.
Or everybody just do their own?
I don't know. I normally, Cody and I, we try to do our own horses.
Right.
And there's times I've actually had to pay Cody to do my horse because I was so busy doing other things.
Right.
But there's still several farriers around. You know, they still have that school down there at Purcell.
Purcell. Yeah, the horseshoe and capital of the world.
Yes, sir. Yeah. But I don't know. I think some people still use farriers. Some people may try to just trim them up themselves. And then some people may just take them to the vet.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Why are horse people so picky about their alfalfa?
Well...
My cows aren't.
No, but, you know, blister bugs is a big problem out here.
Oh, yeah, I understand that part.
I don't know. If it's first, second cutting, I'll buy it all day long.
Right.
And that third cutting, I get kind of leery about it, and I'll start, when I bust the bell open, I'll look at it real good.
Right.
But it seems to me like that about around that third, fourth cut, you don't get as much leaf in there. You get more stems.
It's because the blister bugs are eating it.
Yeah.
Well, I understand what you're talking about on the blister bugs, because I raise alfalfa, and I've seen some colonies of blister bugs scare most human beings. You know, that's no joke. I mean, that one was an acre. And if you've seen that there's 100 bugs per square inch crawling around, take that times an acre. I don't even know how many inches is in a square acre, but I was running through there, the swather, it almost scared me. I know I had a cab, don't get me wrong,
right.
But when Joey and Kelly pulled out there to bring me a beer, I was like, get out! And I kept pointing, and they just panicked, and they hauled buds.
Right.
But I understand, because people out there that don't understand about blister bugs and alfalfa hay is, it doesn't take very many blister bugs. There's a chemical, and when you smash a blister bug, it's like a milk. And I don't have the scientific stuff in front of me, or I could read it, but it doesn't take very many of them to kill a horse.
No,
cows,
it don't.
Cows can eat a bunch, but it will make them sick.
Yeah.
But that kill them graveyard dead.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, blister bugs are a fickle creature anyway. You sit there and there's so many things I've asked myself, why did the good Lord make that?
There's a reason. I was giving you, I love giving horse people a hard time about that alfalfa hay. But horses, to people that own them like you, cowboys, cowgirls, barrel racers, man, them horses are their love.
And, oh, yeah.
And so they're going to probably feed them better than what me and you eat ourselves, you know.
Well, my wife tells me all the time, if I could marry my horse, I probably would, because she thinks I love my horse more than I love her.
Oh, well, we're about out of time, and Jesse, thanks so much for stopping by, and keep me in mind when Madison's out of school. And okay. She's got one halter broke, that she can come in here in the studio and bring a scoop with you, too.
All right.
And we do crazy things around here.
Shoot, yeah.
So anyway, right. But thanks again for being on.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we are about out of time, and we're already up to 74 degrees. We've equaled what we were going to do, so I want everybody to have a blessed weekend. Next week, I don't know which day, but all you people out there that know Janie from Janie's Nursery, I finally conned her into coming in, and she will be in next week sometime during lunch hour. We're going to talk gardening. And she already taught me a trick yesterday I didn't know. So anyway, Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Kick it into overdrive. Cool.